After marveling that a Roman centurion exhibits faith he has not found, Jesus makes a proclamation. I tell you, many will come from east and west and will eat with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. It brings out a special point. All people of faith, one day, will all eat together. Jew, Gentile, east and west, we will all come together in the kingdom and eat. Communion is so beautiful a blessing, but on the Sabbath after Good Friday, it's even more so. I think that after 2,000 years of learning what it is supposed to teach us, I've come to a point now of how much it means to us. But to know one thing, that unless we take a look at its context, its actual context, looking at that night, and of course this weekend gives us the opportunity to look at that night, that specific night, the night that this table was first set for us, a table that was set by Peter and John for them to partake of the Passover and for Jesus to do what he's about to do, which means then the table is then set for us. We can take just a minute to think about Passover. Think about what happened the night before. And think about what happened for Israel nearly 6,000 years before that. The youngest at the Passover table for every family asks one question. And that is, why is this night different? Why is this night different? Well, at that one particular night, the Passover is asked to think of that one night, the first night that was actually made different. What was different? It happened just as God told Moses on the mountain that it would happen. Exodus 12 tells us, at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all his officials and all the Egyptians, and there was a loud cry in Egypt. There was not a house without someone dead. And he summoned Moses and Aaron in the night, and he said, rise up, go away from my people, both you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you said. Take your flocks and your herds as you said, and be gone. And if you think about it, could you pray for me too? The Egyptians urged the people to hasten their departure from the land, for they said, we shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened with their kneading bowls, wrapped in their cloaks and on their shoulders. And Egypt wailed in horror and in grief. There was a loud cry throughout the whole land of Egypt, such as never been or never will be again. But not a dog shall growl at any of the Israelites. Not at people, not at animals, so that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction tonight between Egypt and Israel. The difference between life and death that night, that one night, the first one, Passover. On this night when Israel was delivered out of slavery to Egypt, God told them they were to remember this night by observing his Passover, which becomes their Passover. And how long were they to observe it? Forever. A perpetual observance, Passover is. But you may ask, those of us may ask, most of us Gentiles, most of us Protestants sitting in our church today, we are God's people. We don't observe this ritual. Oh, yes, we do. At this table today, we do. Remember why Passover is necessary for Israel. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites. They made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. Where were they? Were they home? No. Israel had no home. Joseph settled in Egypt, son of Jacob. And by the time that Joseph realizes that everyone's still alive, Jacob's still a wanderer. He still has no home. And after 400 years of slavery, Israel has no home either. Are they living in Egypt as aliens? Are they living in Egypt as immigrants? No, they're living in Egypt as slaves. Bitter bondage and crying out. Have you ever thought about where we are? Just as Exodus tells the Israelites where they were, Paul tells us where we are. For we know that the law is spiritual, but we are under flesh, sold into slavery under sin. Egypt, slaves, Israel, slaves to Egypt. You and me, slaves to what? Slaves to sin. I don't understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Anybody in Israel was not allowed to do what they wanted. They had to do the very thing that they hated. You and me, we can't even do what we want. With our minds, we know what we want to do. But we find a different war at work when it comes to our bodies. We are slaves to what? Slaves to sin. Slavery, a place to be endured. Is it a place to be enjoyed? Has any human being in the history of human beings ever enjoyed slavery? No. We weren't created for it. We were created to be what? We were created to be free. So their slavery, not enjoyed, hardly endured. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Out of the slavery, their cry for help rose up to God. Our slavery, enjoyed? No. We cry out also. I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. And I cry out, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Both slaveries eventually will equal death. Our father was told, on the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And we inherited it from him. We inherited this curse. All of us born with it. And a cry rises up. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and they cried out. And out of their slavery, their cry rose up to God. Wretched man that I am, wretched people that we are, who will save us? Our cry rises up to God. A physical slavery to an oppressive Pharaoh, a spiritual slavery to sin. And both only have one solution: Passover. Moses tells us that he calls all the elders of Israel together and he says, go select lambs for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood in the basin. None of you shall go outside the door of your house until morning. That night of death, that night that death comes to Egypt, that night that death finally comes to slavery, they're told to protect their home, to protect it with the blood of the lamb. For the Lord will pass through to strike down the Egyptians. When he sees the blood on the lintel, the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over that door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you down. Pass over. The final plague was a harbinger to the ultimate reality of slavery. And the ultimate reality of slavery is death. Is there a difference between life and death? What is the difference between life and death? Well, that night, the difference happens to be Passover. The mercy of God making sure that he passes over those who will have enough faith in him to do what he asks. It's no different for spiritual slaves to sin. Who will save me from the body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. So then with my mind, I'm a slave to the law of God. But with my flesh, I'm a slave to the law of sin. And therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. As Israel was saved by the blood of their lamb, we are saved by the blood of our lamb. He passed over death that night for Israel. He passes over death for us through faith. And how was Israel to remember this night? The meal. It had to be observed in specific ways, specific foods. In the middle of their meal, in their history, and time, in the middle of that meal, that place and time, 2,000 years ago, Jesus does the same. He gathers his family together and has one more Passover with his disciples. And in the middle, he does something. After the meal or the Passover was over, he does something. Matthew 26 says, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what was on the table. We can speculate and we can wonder. We have the Talmud, but we don't know exactly. But Exodus says this. Exodus says the meal was to have three things: a lamb, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs. Matthew says they have bread and something in a cup. Wine. So far it appears they have only one thing in common, Exodus and Matthew. That Passover and this Passover, the bread. Unleavened bread is the bread of slavery. Slaves have no time to bake, quote unquote, decent bread. They never had time for dough to rise. And that night, they especially didn't have time for dough to rise. Exodus says the people took their dough before it was leavened with their kneading bowls, wrapped up in their cloaks and on their shoulders. They baked unleavened cakes of the dough they had brought out of Egypt. It was not leavened because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. It was baked before it could rise. Probably baked by the sun on the sands of the Sinai. Table has three servings of it. We learned last night that the man, the head of the house, takes those three servings and he does one thing with it before he'll begin to distribute it. He does one thing. He takes the middle portion out and he breaks it in two. And then he takes it and he hides it for later. Puts it under the table, hides it for later, and the meal goes on. Later on, he'll pull it out. And when he does, he'll give each member a portion. It's quite possible that that portion, that hidden portion, what's called the afikomen, might have been the portion that Jesus takes out, looks at his disciples, and says, this is my body. This is what you'll see tomorrow. My body broken, perforated. But don't worry, it's only going to remain hidden for a little while. Because on Sunday, it's brought out and unhidden and resurrected. You'll see this happen, he says, but don't let your heart be troubled. Just as this bread is brought back, so my body will be. This is for you to eat. I am the bread of life. He's telling us, my body, this bread, will go through death tomorrow. But for you, I give you this, because my death will lead to your life. Take, eat. This is my body. We know that there's at least one cup waiting, the wine. Exodus mentioned no wine. So you ask yourself, what's missing from the Matthew account of Passover? Bitter herbs? I think that Matthew just didn't have a reason really to tell everybody. Everybody knew what was on the table for Passover. So it doesn't say that they didn't have it. The lamb, that was always a giving. They don't today. You can't slay a lamb without the temple. So ever since 70 AD, no Jew has been able to celebrate Passover with a Passover lamb. It has to be slain in the temple. Blood over the doorpost. That's what Matthew doesn't mention. All we know is that Peter and John went and prepared the house. The blood over the doorpost now becomes the wine in the cup. This is my blood. And this is how Passover comes together, how Passover is made for you and me, how it comes to the point to where this table is set for us today. Because that blood that was put over the doorpost will also be poured into this cup. And instead of our blood being spilled, us deserving the death that we deserve, he puts it in a cup for us to drink in his new covenant the night before and says, take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant. And Passover comes together for us now, to where this table is now set for us. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Passover and communion. One and the same because of Jesus. The God of the Passover, the God of communion. Passover made Israel a nation. God has always saved us individually and then called us together in him. I'll share with you these thoughts from 3,000 years of Jewish wisdom about Passover. The rabbis say Passover means life. The slave has no life. He exists as the tool of his master who determines how he shall think, what he shall do, and how long he shall live. Only the free have life. Jesus told us that when we sin, we are slaves to sin. But before that, he said that if we live in his word, then we are truly his disciples. And we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. An American rabbi wrote this: Passover means liberty, justice, inalienable rights at the hand of the Creator. Sound like an American rabbi? On Passover, the Jewish people were made into a nation. They were granted freedom, not merely from slavery, but for the task of establishing justice in their midst and to set an example to all the nations. Passover revealed to them that human rights are God-given and that the law, national and international, must be in tune with the will of the Creator. This means God enters history and man is challenged to be God's co-worker. Just as Israel was instructed to each partake of the Passover lamb individually, then come together with him to form a nation. So think about it today. Jesus sets us this table to give us life. The bread of life, the blood of forgiveness. See, unforgiveness is its own form of slavery. Jesus knows that. So he dies to take that final yoke, sheds his blood to take that final yoke off of all of us, our slavery to sin, provides forgiveness for all of us. Unforgiven is a slave. Today, no matter what we've done, no matter who we are, we can be free. Just by being called around this table, just by partaking of what Jesus asks us to do, his Passover, our supper, we can throw off our final yoke of slavery. And that is the forgiveness we all are looking for, the forgiveness that we all need. That's the truth we should know. That's the truth we're supposed to know, because it's the truth that sets us free. The blood of forgiveness and the bread of life. For you and me, for people who are fallen until the kingdom is completely fulfilled one day, for you and me, unfortunately, we will always need the blood. Fortunately and unfortunately. Unfortunately, we always need the blood of forgiveness. Fortunately, it's always there for us. And today we celebrate it. If we can be forgiven and be free, then we can have the bread of life. Because even that bread was broken just for us, as his blood was shed just for us. Jesus says, today I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of this vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He's waiting. He wants us to partake of it and partake of it often, because as often as we do this, we proclaim his death until when? Until he comes. And he's promised that he will not do it. He's waiting for that first day. He's waiting for that first Passover in the kingdom. when he gets to drink it anew with us again. And on that day, the table will be of no end, because communion and Passover is as simple as this. It will always then be as simple as life. And death becomes a distant, distant memory for all of us. So of all the pleasures in ministry that I have, one that I cherish greatly is to welcome you to this table, set by our Lord Jesus Christ, made possible by his blood and by his body. And I pray that all of us accept that invitation wholly today. Holy, W-H, and holy H.